Brady. That's the right answer. Well, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net meets weekly on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz. PL is 141.3, and the offset is minus 600. Repeater is located in Alpine, New Jersey, and is owned and operated by the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, which generously lets Barrett make use of this repeater. This net is also accessible via Echolink at K2FoxtrotJuliet-L, K2FoxtrotJuliet-L, and we will have a separate check-in for Echolink stations. This net is a conversation about amateur radio, computers, telecommunications, electronics, the natural phenomena underlying science, for all the things that are operative in our hobby. It's about our operating experiences, about things we've done, things we'd like to do, things we'd like to do again, things we absolutely never want to do again. All those things are fair game. So it can be operational, it can be, you know, logistics, it could be, you know, deep down and dirty technology and science. So it's an opportunity to have a conversation about pretty much anything as long as you can kind of tie it back in one of those ways. We all have a lot of benefits and have gained a lot of pleasure and knowledge from our amateur radio backgrounds, and the purpose of this net is to continue with that process and to grow even more. So, with no further ado, let's see. Are there any stations whose call signs begin with the letter A? Please call K2DAR. Alrighty. One other thing I should point out is that the way you check in with your name, your call sign, your name, and then you indicate whether you have a question, a comment, a for sale or swap item, a wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. You might ask, why would you check in if you don't have anything to add? So let's think about that. Well, it's to learn. It's to exchange ideas. And if we know you're there, we can maybe even draw upon you as a resource for the net. So don't be surprised if that happens, but don't get paranoid either. So, you know, all in all, we're looking for stations to check in. So stations whose call signs begin with the letter N for November, please call K2BAR.
Group BAR. This is N2IZE, November 2, India, Sierra Echo. Name is John Juliet Oscar until November, and I have no questions or comments at this point, but we'll be listening in, so if anything should arise, we'll jump in. So back to net control. This is N2IZE.
Good evening, John. Very good. Any other Novembers? Okay, let's go to the whiskey.
WA2UMP, good evening, Gordon. This is Jim in Pearl River with a comment this evening. Back to net.
Good evening, Jim. Got your comment. Any other whiskeys?
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Good evening, Don. No problem. Got your comment. So noted. Any other whiskeys?
This is WI2W. Steve.
W. Steve, what's your intention, sir?
No comment. I'll defer to Tony K2AMI. I'm assuming he'll check in.
If for any reason he doesn't, I'll swing by you again. But very good. Thanks, Steve. Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey 2, Nancy Papa Radio with for sale items. Oh, the handle is Hector.
Okay, Hector. Very good. So you got the proverbial for sale items. Good. Very good. Who is the station who doubled with Hector?
WI2LYP, Bill in Rivervale, just hanging out.
Good evening, Bill. Welcome aboard. I think you had another trip down to Virginia the other day. I thought it went well. I suspect it did. You're back. All right, very good. Any other whiskeys?
K2BAR, Whiskey 2, Charlie Hotel, Ray in White Plains. Good evening, Gordon, on the above.
Gotcha, Ray. Welcome aboard. Who is the station double with Ray?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
Evening, Charlie. Bob says hello, by the way. Saw him the other day. Any other whiskeys?
W2LCN, the name is Rick in Bloomingdale with a comment.
Okie dokie, we have comments tonight. Very good. All right, Rick, very good. Any other whiskeys? Okay, let's try Kilo 2s first.
KC2NKU, Marilyn White Plains, that's MARYLYN in White Plains, New York.
Thank you very much. What your intentions are?
My call letter is KC Kilo Charlie 2 November Kilo Uniform Maryland. None of the above. Thank you.
No problem, Maryland. Thank you very much. Alrighty, any other kilos?
This is K2BAR. This is K2ZO. I have just a comment about a new style of antenna. Back it up.
Oh boy, Mr. Trendsetter, the ultimate in Mr. Fashion, will bestow upon us another antenna to go to. That's awesome. Okay, good, Jim. All right, any other kilos?
Tony, K2AMI, with comments about our noise problem and noise source finding.
Oh, isn't this going to be interesting? Okay, boy, this will be interesting. That's tonight. Very good. Thank you, Tony. Any other kilos? Alrighty. Any other stations wishing to check in?
KD2DDK is here.
Good evening, Gary. Your intention?
Working.
Oh, working. Okay. Alright. any other stations wishing to check in?
K2BAR, KC2ZFM. Bob and I'm with Gary. I'm lurking.
Yeah, I thought he said working, but it was very funny. Thank you, Bob. Very good. All righty. Any other stations? Okay, just a quick announcement before we start. First, I'd like to thank Gary, KD2DDK, and also Rick, W2LCN, for handling the net last week. My son had a hockey tournament in Pennsylvania. We were packing to go, and I just couldn't run the net because, as it is, we weren't leaving till after 10 because I had to get the family all squared away and get off to the hotel in Pennsylvania, and he had a 7 a.m. game, so that was pretty crazy. All good, though. Anyway, I want to thank them both for doing that, and Rick in particular for picking up for Gary when Gary's battery died. That was pretty amazing. I didn't hear about that little bit until this afternoon. And I hope everybody survived the windstorm the other day. That was pretty entertaining. And let's see. Oh, one other thing. Our Boy Scout troop is going to be having a flea market and ham fest with the usual breakfast type of stuff on Saturday, April 5th in Bergenfield. Hope everybody will pop in the morning at least. Bring your YLs because there will be a general purpose flea market and there are vendors for that. And if you're interested, there's a fish fry and macaroni and cheese and, it's actually a fish and chips, macaroni and cheese, and baked ziti on Friday night if you want the same place. Let me know offline if you're interested. Just send me an email. So, with that in mind, let's go to Don, W2JEK, with his announcement, K2BAR.
K2BAR and the net, W2JEK, good evening everybody. Just want to announce that Barra's next BE test session will be on Friday, April 25th at 7 p.m. at the high school. And again, my usual spiel, test fee is $15. Need some one form of photo ID, like a driver's license, or two forms of non-photo ID. If you have a license, bring your license and a copy of it. And otherwise, you will need a social security number if you don't have a license, and or an FRN number if you choose to get that. And you may bring a calculator, but the memory must be empty. Cell phones, etc., may not be used as calculators. I guess that covers it. If somebody has a question, back to net, W2JEK.
Okie dokie. Any questions for Don about the upcoming test session or testing and getting licensed in general? Okay, Don, any more?
Yeah, one thing just crossed my mind. To anybody going for the technician license, be aware that the question pool will change. As of July 1st, there will be new questions out in the exams. So if you're studying for the current question pool, be sure to get into a test session before the end of June. Otherwise, you're going to have to start all over again with the new question. Also, don't try to come to the exam now with next July's questions either. That doesn't work either. Back to that, W2JK.
Yeah, this is the dark time, as it were. All right, very good. Anybody have any follow-up for Don?
GD2DXG, will that be the general also?
No, general goes next year in 2015. They have a 4-year cycle. It starts with tech, then general, then extra. Then there's a skip a year, and then it goes back to tech, general, extra.
QIZE.
IZE go.
I'm just curious as to in what way does anybody know? I know, you know, maybe this information isn't available, but in what way will the test be different? Because I would imagine that the rules and the theory and everything for the tech license would be pretty much the same. So is it just the question pool, but it's based on the same things, or there's any kind of rule changes or technology changes that, you know, are in effect? So just kind of just a point of curiosity. So back to the net there. This is N2YZ.
Okay, John, very good question. Yeah, well, no, they're changing the questions. In fact, the rules are the same. The technology of the, you know, the Ohm's law is still the same, etc., you know. And generally everything stays the same. Once in a while they'll change a rule during that 4-year period where that test is valid. And what they will do then, if it has a question, sometimes there is a question on, well, I have actually 5 different versions of the exam. And sometimes one of those exams will have a question that is no longer valid because of a rule change. In which case they send me a sticker and they put this sticker over the old question and you have a new question there to ask you something else. And that's how we take care of that. Rather than send out a whole new flock of exam booklets. So sometimes they, right near the end of the year, if it's that close, they'll tell you not to use them. But most of the time, they'll use the stickers. Back to that, W2JEK.
Well, very good. Any more from you, John?
Hey, no, that answers my question quite well. Just kind of curious if there was any upcoming rule changes or you know, new technology that was being added that might change the exam and change the question pool. But, okay, yeah, I understand. Every now and then they change the question pools and stuff like that. And also, thanks for clarifying on when they do change rules and when they do add new technologies or drop certain things, they make note of that. So, yeah, question well answered, and I'll pass it back to the net. Go ahead. This is N2YZ.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, John. Anybody else have any questions for Don? Okay, Don, any final?
I think that's all, Gordon. Thanks. Thanks again. Back to net. W2JK.
Okay, very good. Hector, why don't you take it for your service sale item?
Okay. A2BAR, W2NPR. Good evening, all. I have a couple of HF radios for sale. I'd like to change some things around here, so I need to unload because they'll just be surplus, and, well, they'd be better off in somebody else's shack on the air than sitting in a box. So I have enough spare radios that these two can go. The first one, for all you Kenwood fans, is a Kenwood TS-2000. I've had it since brand new, about 3 years old. The voice recording unit is in it, and I have the Heil XLR cord also to go with it. You know, mic, power cord, box manual, etc. I'm looking for $1,000 for that. And my HF mobile radio is an ICOM IC7000. My new vehicle does not allow for installation of an HF antenna, unfortunately. Not easily, anyway. Let me reset. And after a couple of trials with mounts and brackets and things of that nature, I unfortunately cannot support the Hustler antenna because of the vehicle's design. So, sadly, I must bid HF Mobile adieu, at least for now. So, perhaps one day we'll pick it up again. But anyway, it's an ICOM 7000. I have the LDG IT1000 auto tuner. That I have also had since new. There's also a separation kit that has never been used. And the radio works very, very well. No options in it, just the radio, the tuner, and an unused separation kit. And I'm looking for $1,000 for that set. My email address is good on QRZ. And so if you guys are looking for some nice gear, works well, drop me a line and then we'll chat. Back to that, K2BAR, W2NPR.
Make sure I get this right. It's a TS-2000, and which options are in it?
The only option in it is the voice recording module. I think it's a DRU3 or something like that. I think that's the model number. And I bought the Heil the CC1 XLR cable, and it's the one that's wired for Kenwood HF radios. I have a PR781 that I use on that radio, and by Pro 3 I also use the Heil with that. So in lieu of buying another microphone, I just bought the cable and then I alternate in between.
So, wow. So you're getting rid of your 2000, keeping your Pro 3, and getting rid of your ICOM 7000. Okay. With the IT, would you say IT 1000 or IT 100?
It's the IT 100.
I think you said 1000, that kind of confused me. Okay. Pretty good. And the separation kit that's never been used. All right, and both are going for $1,000, basically.
Yeah, I'm asking $1,000 or anything reasonable. Any unreasonable offers will not be entertained, of course. But they're available, and the advantage of buying from me is that you can try them, test them, and go from there. However, no warranties are offered, expressed, or implied. As with all electronic gear, it is sold as is.
Okay, very good. Anybody have any follow-ons for Hector? Okie dokie. Well, thank you, Hector. Anything else from you?
Nope. We'll take a seat back and listen, and in case anything comes up where I need to inject a comment, we will. Otherwise, we'll be here listening. Back to that, K2BAR, W2NPR.
Yeah, Hector, could you, I think you have my phone number. Could you give me a call after the net?
I sure can.
Thank you, sir. I think I have an outlet for your 7,000. Alas, it's... Well, anyway, I'll tell you on the phone. Anyway. Alrighty. Let's see. Alrighty. Moving right along, our next person is WA2UMP. Jim, over to you.
Yeah, hi, Gordon. Just wanted to bring it to people's attention. This week there was an interesting announcement, at least I thought it was, of a new product coming out. Kinect Systems in California is coming out with the CS1000, which is going to be a low-price combination DMR, D-Star, handheld HT. Will be available in about 6 months. Now, this was the company that we talked about last month that has right now a DMR handheld for $180. So it's a breakthrough on 3 points. Let me let it drop and I'll go over those. It's a breakthrough, first on price. People have been waiting for a low-price D-Star rig, and here it is. And the second breakthrough is that it's a D-Star radio by somebody else other than ICOM. And the third breakthrough is that this not only offers D-Star, but will offer DMR, or a.k.a. Moto Turbo, as Motorola calls labels it. So anyway, if anybody's been thinking of getting involved in D-Star or DMR, this could be the price breakthrough that folks are looking for. If you Google CS7000 D-Star, you can read all about it. Looks like an interesting opportunity, and maybe it'll get a lot of people on D-Star. Back to Ned.
This is a mobile rig, and do you know what the price point's going to be?
No, this is a handheld. It's an HT. And the price point is $250, 4 watts, and it's going to look like the CS100, so there's even a mock-up of it, or you can look at the CS100. So 4 watts, about the price point will be $250.
W2CH, comment.
I'm a little quick, sorry. Is it UHF only?
I believe at this point it's UHF only.
Very nice. Was there another station I wanted to make a comment?
W2CH, Ted.
Please do.
Yes, Gordon, W2CH Ray here. Yeah, I just saw the video on it, as Jim was saying. It's still coming out in a while. From what I understood from the video of the producer of it there, CSI, was on that fellow Pierce, KN4, I forget the rest of his call. Ham Radio Now was a whole thing on it about developing it, and I think he said at Dayton he would have more information, although I didn't hear at that time the power or the price, but he did say UHF, and just thought I'd add those comments if somebody wants to look at that too. You know, that's that fellow who does interviews, something like the other videos that you see on Ham Radio. He usually goes to ham fests or people with equipment. Thank you.
I'm in. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking at a spec sheet I just found on the CS700, and it doesn't say anything about D-Star. It talks about being compatible with Motorola and Hytera DMR radios, but it doesn't say anything about D-Star.
The 700 available now is just DMR. I'm seriously considering getting that rig. I already have a D-Star rig, but the 7000 will have both D-Star and DMR.
Thanks for the clarification.
That's in the video.
Okay, so it's CSI, and the model number is Charlie Sierra 7000?
It says It's expensive, and ICOM is the only one that manufactures it. DMR is a competing format. Personally, I don't think it's as good as D-Star, but all said and done, I'm going to buy one of those CS700s just to play around with it. Anyway, some interesting developments and interesting price points worth looking at.
Okay, just one thought. The DMR stuff will resync every couple of seconds if you lose train, whereas D-Star does it. I found that if I say more than about 10 or 15 seconds worth of words on D-Star, then I run the serious risk of coming unglued, and if I do, people just hear Donald Duck until I unkey, whereas I think in DMR it'll resync. On the other hand, DMR doesn't have all the routing stuff that our good friends in ICOM D-Star Land have. So, it's a trade-off.
Comment W2CH.
Go ahead.
Yes, Gordon and Jim, yes, he does comment on differences between the D-Star, as you say, having D-Star myself, the 31HT and the 880, which has now been replaced with the 5100, that's why you run into that kind of, if you lose it, get the R2-D2, while he said the DMR or maybe Pierce brought up or something like that, has a kind of a sampling or so that it resets or something like that. I heard that too, to that effect, or something about range also they were comparing there. But it's interesting, just to add, when I looked on Amazon, they wanted about $280 for the 700. Now, I don't know if the 180, Jim, or you might clarify back to you, Gordon, first, but why is there such a difference in price on what I saw on that listing compared to the 180?
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, if you call Kinect Systems, the price is $180 plus $5 for a cable with free software. There's a waiting list. You put your name on the list, and when the next batch comes in from China, they mail it out to you. And the $285 price on eBay is gougers trying to resell for people that don't want to wait. Comments about the differences between D-Star and DMR. I find that if you have a good strong signal, like with K2DIG, it's available now, I really don't get any R2D2ing. If everything is, if your signal is weak, you will get R2D2ing. I prefer the audio on D-Star over DMR, but again, personal preference, and after I get the CS700, I will be able to give you a more hands-on critique.
Thank you.
Well, $250 for that is a very attractive price. I'm kind of curious of whether or not the cable accessories are a different system than ICOM provided. They had stupid things like the programming cable and the data cable were different cables. Really? That kind of drove me crazy.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully it's worthwhile. And at this price point, I think it's worth just getting one and seeing what it does, really.
Yeah, you might even see me get back on D-Star again. And also K2DIG being back on the air is a modest incentive. All right, well, thank you very much. That's good. Anybody else? All right, then let's go to our next commenter, who is Mr. Rick, W12CN. I think you have an announcement of sorts. K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is W2LCN. Thank you very much, Gordon. Things have worked out very well for us over with the Jacksonville Chapel. They have met with me last week. We finalized things, and it looks like we're going to provide some amateur radio communication on the 5K run, which is kind of nice. It's a small, fairly closed course next to a park. It runs about a mile square, and we've developed a plan to run a 2-meter simplex, and at this point, we are looking for volunteers. So on April 12th, we'll begin the run at roughly 9 o'clock in the morning.
We have a schedule set up, and if anyone is interested in attending as a one of the radio operators, or if we have new techs out there that would like to join us, we'd love to have you come out, spend a little time with some of the guys out there on the course, and take part in what's going to end up being a great day. It's also served as a great training opportunity for some of the other big events that we've got coming up in late May and towards the end of August. So if you are free on April 12th and are willing to do some ham radio work, we would love to have you, and I would love to get some information out to you. So you can reach me at techtalkabc@gmail.com. That's Tango Echo Kilo Hotel, Tango Alpha Lima Kilo, Alpha Bravo Charlie @gmail.com. At Whiskey 2 Lima Charlie November @arrl.net. But again, it's going to be a great day. We've got a nice course set up. We've got about five or six checkpoints, and we're looking for about a dozen operators to help fill the role with one or two people at each location, and the addition of a sag wagon. So the course has already been mapped out. We've done some testing. It looks like it's going to be a great day, and it's also conveniently located directly behind Wayne Electronics. So after the race, we should be done at about somewhere around 10:30. It's a great time to head over there and pick up any of the loose electronics items that you'd like to pick up. So that's my announcement for the net tonight. This is W2LCN, and I will send it back to K2VAR.
Okay, are they...
Say that again, Gordon?
Is Wayne Electronics open on Sunday?
April 12th is a Saturday.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my brain dead. Anyway, that would work better. all right. I'm waiting for status on that from my bride. But yeah, what Rick alluded to is something that's really interesting. For those of us who've been operating the Round 4 Rally, which is a 1,400 cyclist six route, anywhere from I think 5 miles up to 150 miles or so, on Sunday, August 17th, we've been managing that now for 7 years. We've had the added fun complication and addition of having the return of the Passaic County Fair, so which is going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday of that same weekend, mostly in the evenings. So we're going to have a real complication for how to intertwine two events that largely, you know, call upon the same core group to manage. Managing is not going to be the hard part, but we are going to need some volunteers to fill these two events across what is acknowledged to be a very hard time to get volunteers, and also a very hard time to get that kind of sustained interest. But if you think about a long-term disaster, say a hurricane kind of thing like that, the fair kind of provides that kind of cyclical, you know, go back, work a day, take a day off, come back, work a day, take a day off kind of thing. And we may need to think about how to do that, an event within an event, if you will. So, again, even new operators are more than welcome to participate in these events, and you get some skills really, really fast. And, you know, we're really looking to build a good communications team for both Bergen County and Passaic County, and this is a real good way to get field experience at a different level than you normally would. And the op-tempo is way up. The operational tempo is way up for those 4 days. So running a small event like this, or some of the events that we run, say the fireworks in Farallon, things like that, much more manageable, but you also learn some skills along the way. So with no further ado, are there any questions about this event for Rick or even me? Okey-doke. Well, I hope you'll be able to come out for some of these events this year. It'd be really helpful. All right. Rick, Nancy tells me that Saturday the 12th is good for me so far. We're seeing Jeremy's other team kicks up with its schedule, so I haven't seen yet. But so far, so good. So I'll be able to help you for that walk. That was your problem, that 5K. Anything else you want to add to it, Rick?
No, I think that's fantastic. I think what we may have to do is the last person to sign up, we're going to give them the added benefit of being the net control race director / cleanup crew. No, we have got a lot of great people that are going to be out there for it, so the more the better. And like I said, if anybody has any questions, just send me an email at techtalkabc@gmail.com or whiskey2limacharlienovember@arrl.net. But no, it's going to be a great time. It's a small event. We're in and out in about 4 hours, and it should be a great time. So we'd love to have some new people out there as well as some veterans to come join the fun. So I'll send it back over to you, Gordon. Thank you very much, and I'll count you in.
Okay, thank you very much. If there are any changes, I'll let you know promptly. I'll know within a couple of weeks anyway. Well, at this point, a couple of weeks. It'll stay clear, I'm sure. Alrighty. With no further ado, Mr. K2ZO, Jim, what is your quest?
Okay. No, I had a comment about an antenna, okay?
I know, I'm teasing. Go ahead.
Well, as everyone knows, I've been tinkering with antennas, and of course, we recently put up an off-center fed dipole over at Noel's place, and now Rachel's renting a room there, and she's using it with her rig, and she's getting out like crazy. And that one's fed with open wire line, and it's an 80-meter fed with open wire line that works everywhere, even the walk bands, fed with 300 ohm line. She was curious about putting up one, maybe for 40 meters or so, in her place in Florida, in which case she'd have to run the feed line up through the wall, by power lines, by telephone lines, and stuff like that. Let me let it drop. But one of the things that I suggested, because I had fooled with it a long time ago, was to take a dipole and feed it with two pieces of coax. In other words, making shielded twin lead. You connect the shields together, you leave them open at the top, not connected to anything, just use the two center conductors. And if you take two pieces of 75-ohm cable, like TV twin lead, you can make yourself, because now they're in series, so that it'd be 150-ohm, you'd have a piece of 150-ohm cable. And I had done that on an old G5RV one time to see how it worked, and it worked okay. But I just recently found out that someone's already done it and written an article on it. It's called the Spencer, S-P-E-N-C-E-R, off-center fed antenna. And it's fed with two pieces of 75-ohm coax. So you could route it around through, lay it on top of other telephone lines and things like that, and it will still work. 57 and a half feet on one side, 82.5 feet on the other side, which gives you an impedance of about 150 ohm. In other words, it's a little different than a normal 33% off. And if you feed it with 78 feet of line, you can match it with a 4-to-1 balun, no tuner necessary, and it'll work on 80 through 10 meters. And with a tuner, it'll work on the walk bands. So I thought that was very interesting. And if you do a Google for Spencer off-center fed, OFC, you'll find that antenna. And I thought that was very interesting, because here I had thought that I had invented something when I tried that with a G5RV. Turned out that someone had already done it a long time ago. Back to that, K2ZO.
That's marvelous. So it's Spencer OCF antenna. And it's 57.5 and 82.5, was that, Jim?
Roger, and you can feed it with different lengths of line if you're going to use a tuner, but 78 feet will give you a match on every band.
78 feet of twisted, probably of coax, times two. That's great. That's great. That's really, really kind of cool. So I've taken those notes. So 78 feet and 75 ohm dual coax make a 150 ohm, feed line.
Connected N2RY. Connected N2RY.
I'm sorry, did I double?
I just got stepped on at the end.
Okay. That's pretty good. And you put that into a 4-to-1 balance at the radio end, and away you go.
I've recently seen something on the antenna forum where people have built this and done just use the regular 1-to-1 balun or roll the coax, and with a tuner it says works fine. And of course, with a shortened piece of the parallel twin lead, you may find a band where you'll need a tuner. That 78 is a magic number to get everything down reasonably low. But anyway, it's a way of using an easily matched antenna, which is why you use an off-center FET, in an area where you might get some interference coupling or RFI by using an open wire line. If you're going to use it outside, there's no reason to do it that way. Just use 300 ohm line and it'll work fine. Back to that, K2ZO.
Okay. Very good. Very good. That's pretty darn marvelous. I've saved this in my notes. I think this will be something worthwhile. So, just for everybody's benefit, the Spencer OCF antenna, you can look it up. Spencer with a C. And then 57 by 5.5 by 82.5 feet. Feed it with two pieces of 75 ohm coax to make a 150 ohm shielded feed line, make it 78 feet long, feed that into a 1-to-1 balun, probably a 4-to-1 balun, and you won't need a tuner. If you feed it into a 1-to-1 or do some other length of coax, you might need a tuner for one or more bands, but that's pretty clever.
Somebody wrote an article in, I think it was in 73 magazine in 1984 about it.
Okay. Reference 73 magazine in 1984 sometime. Good. And 73 magazine's back issues are floating around online. You can probably get those without too much trouble. I've also seen the old ham radio magazines online. Although I gotta tell you, some of that stuff, not so much the stuff in 73, but some of the stuff in ham radio I find to be a bit more dated because they were so cutting edge, they were depending on devices that in many cases don't exist anymore. But anyway, enough of that. Anything else, Jim?
Oh, I think there was also references to it in CQ magazine and a few others. So the thing is, it's like an antenna design that comes and goes, and somebody rewrites the article and stuff like that. So if you just Google it, you'll find the description of it, and that'd be enough information to build one. And that's it. Back to that. K2ZO.
K2JK. And that's a really good thing because its advantage is that you get the shielded feed line should you need it to crawl across things. You can't run open wire line, that kind of nonsense. All right, very good. Thank you very much. And let me just check to make sure, other than Tony and possibly Steve, WITW, has everybody made their comments for this evening? I just want to make sure I didn't miss anybody.
Did 2JEK with a comment about the antenna?
Sure, Don, no problem.
Mentioned 73 magazine. I think if you look that up, I think all the issues of 73 magazine are online. It's a freebie kind of a thing. I recall seeing that at one time, not too long ago.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anybody else with good comments about that? Thank you, Don.
K2BAR, W2LPM.
Go ahead, Rick.
on, if you go to hamuniverse.com or do a search for 1984 and W4HDX, there's a full drawing and a full article on this with illustrations and a proposed inverted V diagram, and it gives all the information that was mentioned that you guys just spoke about. It gives you a nice illustration of it. But that's at hamuniverse.com, and then look for 1984 and W4HDX.
All right, very good. Anything else from anybody? That's super. Thank you, Rick.
W2JC. I've been reading the mail, but I haven't checked in. All right.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, nothing. Just listening. My webinar finished in time that I could get on here about quarter after. All right.
That's great. Welcome aboard. Alrighty, and thank you also, Don, for your comment. Anybody else have comments on the antenna? Was there someone on Echo? Alrighty, well, thank you again. Anything you want to add to it at all, Jim?
This Jim? No, just listening and picking up little tidbits. I should have had your handset thing on the Fairlawn website, but I didn't get the information.
Okay, so I will send it to you. That's not a problem.
All right, I'll put it up. At least it'll be there for a week. All right.
Appreciate it. In fact, I'm going to make sure that LSC has it, because I suspect he doesn't for the barrel bulletin either. I got to take care of that tonight just in case it somehow slips through the cracks. Anyway, not a problem. Alrighty, Tony, over to you. Your noise issue, K2BAR.
Seeing all, this is K2AMI, Tony, and I'm over in New Jersey, for those who are from the other side of the river. And I just want to report some things that we've come across, and that is, first of all, there is help from the AORL in locating, and advice on locating your problems. Now, I spoke with Mike Gruber, G-R-U-B-E-R. Mike Gruber is a W1MG up at the League. He's a, he's the expert on locating noise, and very informative. Now, to recall last week, Steve and I used a loop on about 10 megacycles and located a noise source on a pole. Well, I relayed that information to Mike, and Mike said, what frequency? He says, you can't determine accurately on lower frequencies where the noise is coming from. You've got to use VHF frequencies. And Mike recommended using frequencies as he does. He uses 400 megacycle type transceivers. And of course, we have a 400 megacycle VHF equipment. But 400 megacycles in an AM position with a Yagi antenna says you'll be very successful at very much pinpointing the direction of the noise as you get higher frequencies. Now, he said you can't use any frequencies in the higher range. He said you could go up as high as a megacycle. Gigacycle, and you might find success there. My thoughts are that probably if you use 220 or 900 or 1296, you might be successful, although I haven't tried those, and he did not recommend those. He recommended frequencies around the 400 megacycle range. So this afternoon, both Steve and I went out again with satellite Yagi antenna. Most people have an Arrow antenna. This is a version of the Arrow, but it's just this, a 400 megahertz a Yagi antenna and a sideband portable rig that we powered with a battery power pack, and we're successful in locating a pole that was obviously the noisiest pole in the neighborhood. And it was different from the pole that we found last week on 10 megahertz. So we think we were successful in finding it. Now, Mike also recommended that he said, I have a 756 Pro, which has a very nice screen on it, and shows me the noise pulses. But Mike was not interested in the screen that I was looking at. He wanted to hear a noise
repeater. Repeater. Timeout. Clear.
Sorry, I didn't realize it. I timed out. Can somebody start me back where I fell out there? Perhaps Gordon, where did I drop out?
Yeah, you just got to be, you got to watch that. I'm guilty of that myself sometimes, Tony. You dropped out when you said that he wanted to hear the audio. Why don't you just backtrack from there a little bit?
Okay, and to backtrack further, he did not want to see the a picture of the screen on the 756 Pro, but he wanted to get a noise bite. So we actually had a voice recorder that we used, a little audio recorder, and we took that up with the antenna and the a receiver on, some ways we were on 450 or so, I think, on the band, and we actually recorded the sound coming off the speaker of the radio, put it on a voice recorder, and then took the voice recorder back to my house here, fed it into a microphone, and then into a program called Audacity. And Audacity lets you take audio input and convert it to a digital waveform. Let me drop it. Made a file out of the Audacity file, and he wanted 1 minute of recording. He said he can analyze 1 minute of recorded file and determine whether it's pole noise or some other noise source. So we are prepared now with a sound bite, and I also have some pictures I'm going to send along of the actual screen pictures up to Mike, perhaps in tomorrow's email, and let him get back with an answer from there. I have no response from public service. I have no effort on their part to determine what pole it is, but I now have a pole number again, and I didn't get the actual street address, but I'll get that. It's in the neighborhood here within two blocks. Hopefully we'll be able to track this down. It's a problem that has been hanging around since January 23rd, right after the VHF contest, and it should be solved soon. Also, want to indicate that the equipment that we also used was a normal scanner. A scanner, in our case, does have AM receive and did cover the 400 megacycle range. However, the scanner did not seem to have as hot a receiver as the radio that we were using. Again, I think the number was a Kenwood 8. I'm going to mess it up, I think, but it was an 831. It's a dual-band AM, FM, VHF-type radio with sideband also. So we were using sideband because it didn't have an AM system. The scanner had the AM system, and we compared the two signals, and they were very similar. So that's our success so far. But again, locate trouble with VHF, locate it with a Yagi, and use an AM mode. Back to net.
Comment.
To me, go ahead.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, just clarification on the rig. It was a Kenwood TR-851A. Mobile rig from about 20 years ago that covers 430 to 440 megahertz FM, CW, and sideband. I used to use it on satellites a long, long time ago. It's pretty beat up, but it still is working great. And we stood underneath the pole with the Arrow 440 Yagi, and I was on the 439 megahertz, and we got about 3S units, and that was the only pole that gave us any S-meter reading at all, and it was very noticeable and directional. So that sound file, I think, will help get us to a solution. And, Tony, we only took about 30 seconds, I think, of audio, so if we need to get more than that, I didn't realize we needed a minute, let me know, and we can do that again. I also figured out that my little HT Yaesu VX5 has AM mode and will listen on 400 megahertz as well, so maybe we can use that. So I'll chat you in the morning sometime. So
hopefully we're getting closer. It's interesting. It was across the street and about two poles down from the pole we noticed all the HF emanating from. And I don't remember finding the HF interference emanating from this particular pole, but could be mistaken. But we're getting closer. It's in the neighborhood. We will get there. So, and Mike has certainly been most helpful up at the ARRL. And I've been reading on the, let me drop. They have a ARRL website about finding interference and what you can do to determine if it's a power line. One thing you can do is see the audio output of your transceiver into an oscilloscope, and you can find the frequency. Let's see here, I just threw it in an email to Tony. But power line noise burst should repeat every 8.33 milliseconds, which is 120 hertz. So maybe we'll try that next. But I'm pretty convinced we got it. We're getting close, so now it's just to get the power company to pay attention. K2BAR, WITW.
Okay, a couple of things. One is that while 400 megs is really good and convenient, sometimes it just don't get the harmonics up there that you need. But when you do, they're more easily isolated. So there is a trade-off there. So that S3 signal could mean that you're at the right pole. But I would also go back other times when you know the interference is operative at home and go back to the original pole with your 400 meg setup. The other thing is Kenwood THF6 has both sideband and AM, and I found that to be useful when I was finding my troubles about 10 years ago on poles. I was very lucky with TSCNG being able to get some attention and really knock stuff down. So that's really good. And the ARRL has an advisory committee on the board has an advisory committee on this that Mike is the staff advisor to, and actually I'm a member of. And I'll be with Mike on Monday at a UVRS customer site that I can tell you more about on Monday after I hear about this. But basically one customer is suggesting that since he got UVRS, he has interference coming into his 40 meter receiver, and there's a lot of opportunities here. It could be the electronics, it could be the modulation. Well, it's probably not the modulation from the DSL, and it could be conducted stuff from another source that's just riding on the outside of our lines that just gets ejected, and we can deal with that pretty bluntly too. So all this stuff is fun, and the more wire, the more stuff is out there, both wired and wireless, the more we're going to have to cope, but it's all good. Tony, do you want to add more?
2AMI.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
If you key in under Google, ARRL, what's the exact phrase? He suggested ARRL power noise or power line noise FAQ, frequency answered questions. There's a ton of information that you can open up and read further about. And he recommends it, as Steve is doing, to definitely read some of the information or all of it if you can afford, can spare the time. So under ARRL, power line noise FAQ, under Google, and you get a wealth of information. Back to Nick.
Yeah, one other quick thing, quick, Steve, before I give it to you, is if you guys have stuff physically that you wanted to give to him, I will be with Mike all day on Monday. So we're going to be out at a field site. So if you would like to have something physically brought there regarding this case, I'll be happy to schlep it up for you. I'll be going up Monday morning very early, so anytime Sunday is fine. Good, Steve.
Okay, thanks for that offer, Gordon. I think email will suffice. We just got to mail him some sound files and, you know, some notes as to what we've been doing. Just some notes on the noise. It exists 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.